For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Lincoln Journal Star's Life in the Red podcast. Luke Mullen and Amy Just here with you, as always, and it's March. It means NCAA tournament action. Very, very close. And as I mentioned, you know, last week, having both the men's and the women's team in this discussion has made for a really exciting March. And really, we're getting down to it now. Women's team in the Big Ten tournament, men's team one regular season game left.
Yeah, it's crazy. It went by so fast. Like, I'm not ready for postseason basketball. It feels like there should be like at least another week of regular season left after this. But nope, here we go.
Yep. It is that exciting time of the year. And want to break it all down with you today. Starting with the women's basketball team, we will preview that Big Ten tournament run here in a moment. But first off, you got to talk about the seeding, because that was an important question there, that final regular season game playing against Illinois. And man, it was kind of a heartbreaker for them. 74-73 was the final score. Last second shot didn't fall. Jazz Shelley had a really great game, but that three-pointer, and missed out on the double bye as a result of that one-point loss. Margins.
Yeah, they started off really slow in that one, and then they figured it out, and then they just couldn't hang on in the last, like, 3 minutes of the game, and Illinois came back. And, you know, like, I don't know. I can see both sides, you know, of the good and the bad with the double bye, right? Because you get an opportunity to play one more game, so therefore it means maybe one more win. But also, if you were to lose that second round game, that wouldn't be good either. So pros and cons.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing you'd say too is their like path, you know, their matchups didn't really change as kind of this, you know, as being four versus the five, but as you said, you do run that risk. You get to play that extra game. And that game for Nebraska, they are the number five seed in the Big Ten tournament. They'll face the winner of Northwestern Purdue. That game will be played Thursday afternoon, roughly around 2 p.m., but not 100% sure these Big Ten, depending on the session of these Big Ten games, it could, you know, game runs long, you got to wait a little bit, gets done early, who knows, but roughly around 2. That's the expectation. And the interesting thing about that is they beat both those teams in the last 3 weeks. They played both of them very recently.
Yeah, so I think it should be pretty interesting. I'm not overly concerned about either one of those opponents. They've had pretty rough years.
Yep. And I mean,
by their standards.
Well, I just think you consider they beat Purdue twice, and you know, those games were fairly competitive. Northwestern, that was Nebraska completely controlled that one. So both those opponents, they found success against them. And you know, from there, Michigan State, that's the number four seed, the team that beat them out. And that's an interesting one too, because they played them. That was the first conference game. That was 3 months. I think it'll be exactly 3 months from that game, December to March, and they play him again there in the Big Ten tournament. So,
and it's this problem is only going to get worse when you add four more teams, right? Like, it's like, oh, we have only played them once and it was in December. Like, it's going to be like that for more, just because it's going to be lopsided. You're only going to have only a couple of teams that you play home and road. So, you'll be seeing that more. But yeah, no, very, very interesting that they have a chance to play them, and they played them just so long ago.
Yeah, so it's hard to necessarily say how they would match up against them right now, but certainly those teams are very, very closely matched. So would expect that to be a really close matchup. And number one, Ohio State, the top seed on that side of the bracket, a potential semifinal opponent for whoever comes out of there. So that's kind of the path for Nebraska in that Big Ten tournament. And it's interesting, too, because NCAA tournament projections, it's been really consistent for the last month. They're still on that 8-9 line, and it's hard, you know, unless they beat Ohio State. I mean, it's kind of hard to see that changing a whole lot. You know, maybe unless they exit early too, they could hurt themselves a little bit. But otherwise, you know, you kind of let the resume stand for itself at this point, for the most part, it seems like.
Yeah, no, things have been haven't ebbed and flowed a whole lot with the, I mean, just in general, not just for Nebraska, but just in general for the women's side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is how they look going into the Big Ten tournament. And of course, got to talk about some postseason awards that came out today. And on this podcast, we have been banging the drum all season long. Natalie Potts, she's won Freshman of the Week. It was 8 times out of a possible 16, and she was named Freshman of the Year. But interestingly, only by the coaches. The media selected Purdue's Mary Ashley Stevenson instead.
I have a column about it.
Yeah, your comment, Amy.
Look, Mary Ashley Stevenson is a great player. She deserved to be, you know, in that consideration, in that conversation. She deserved to be unanimous, you know, Big Ten all-freshman team. But I went through all of their stats, and like 90% of them, not edges are out. So I'm incredibly confused. I know I'm not the only one. The team was very confused. But yeah, I'm at a loss on that one.
Yeah, I mean, statistics-wise is one thing. Then you have the weekly performances that Natalie seems to have edged her at, too. But you consider, I mean, one's a starter for, you know, NCAA tournament team. The other one, I mean, Purdue's had a little bit of a down year. So, you know, you feel like the performance, team performance, you know, maybe has to go into effect there a little bit. I mean, she's elevated this Nebraska team quite a lot.
Yeah, and she's like one of the big reasons why Nebraska beat Iowa. She's one of the big reasons why Nebraska has had a lot of success, frankly, this season. She was thrown into the fire super early, and that was fine. She won Big Ten Player of the Week the first week of the season for the freshmen. So, I don't know. Not to discredit what Mary Ashley did this season. That's not about that. I'm just very confused as to why anyone else was chosen for that. But I don't have a vote for men or women. But yeah, I flabbergasted.
Yeah,
just that one
just seemed a little surprising. We were expecting maybe, you know, her to sweep those awards, certainly possibly. And by the way, Natalie Potts season stats, 10.5 points, 5.4 rebounds per game. She shot 52% from the floor, and something that I think is also incredibly impressive, 5 games with 10 or more rebounds. You consider she's playing next to Alexis Markowski, one of the best rebounders in the Big Ten. Like, there's only so many rebounds to go around. I mean, she's been so active on that glass. That's one of her biggest contributions to this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alexis Markowski, first team All-Big Ten. So when you have those two in the post, you're going to have success. And they've seen that this season.
Yeah. And for Alexis, she was second team All-Conference the last 2 years. So really impressive for her to continue that growth. I mean, she's been such an important player for this women's team since she stepped onto the court as a freshman. And it's kind of interesting to maybe see the parallel with Natalie Potts there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I asked both of them about that today, and they said that they both make each other better, that Nat's really learning a lot from Alexis, and Alexis just couldn't be more proud of what Natalie's been able to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other all-conference honors, Jazz Shelley, second-team all-conference pick, and Natalie Potts was joined by Logan Nisley on the all-freshman team. Another really impressive freshman year from her.
Yes, absolutely.
So those were the all-conference awards. And as we wrap up talking about the women's basketball team, got to talk about a future Husker that we got to watch at Pinnacle Bank Arena this last week. Britt Prince from Elkhorn North, really dominant 5-star guard, announced her commitment to Nebraska a couple months ago, signed with the program. And what a high school career she had. 4-for-4 in terms of state titles. One of the most dominant, most talented women's basketball players in the state.
Yeah, Scott made it tough, though.
Yeah, Scott it was one made heck of tough. A championship game.
Scott was up by 9 points, and Elkhorn North stormed back, figured it out. But it wasn't Brett who scored the winning points. It was Reese Booth. So,
yep.
Props to her. It was a very intense and stressful situation, but Ice and Ravines made both free throws, and Elkhorn North wins their 4th state championship, which is so tough. Like, it's so hard to win one, let alone four. You look at what Scutt has been able to do over the past 4 years, only 10 losses in 4 years, and three of them have come in the state championship game to Elkhorn North. Like, it is so hard. You can be so successful and not quite get there. And I think that's just a testament to what Ann Prince has put together, not just with Britt, but Britt's a very big part of that. Over the past four seasons, it's been incredible to watch for me the last 2 years being up here.
Yeah. And I just think my perspective on that too is I remember, you know, 2021, her freshman year, Elkhorn North has just opened. And I mean, it was clear that she was already, you know, an all-state player. But at that point, I mean, it was a young program. They had a couple, I think, juniors who had played at, you know, Elkhorn High or whatever. But from just seeing her on the court, I mean, she was running that offense flawlessly as a freshman. And I think everything she's added since then in terms of leadership, the all-around game, always been a tremendous three-point shooter, great passer. I mean, just the all-around competitive mindset that she's always had and the talent to go with it. Been just really impressive to watch. And for all the scoring, I think we said when she signed as a passer, I mean,
oh my gosh,
so fun to watch.
She had the most bananas baseball pass in one of those games that I just think my jaw dropped. I'm like, how?
In your hands.
No kidding. But yeah, she has been so fun to watch the past 2 years. She's never lost at PBA. And as many Nebraska fans in my mentions were quick to say, hope that continues moving forward.
Absolutely. Husker fans will be watching that streak with great interest. So that is the women's basketball update. And as for the men's basketball team, one regular season game left, and they enter it having won five of their last six. They are hot right now, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One game left at Michigan on Sunday, so they get a nice little bye week here.
Yeah.
Which is going to greatly benefit them, I think, moving into the Big Ten tournament and whatever lies ahead for them.
For sure. And, you know, it's interesting, too, that that one loss that kind of broke that winning streak. I mean, 78-69 to Ohio State. Clearly, the team was disappointed with that effort. You know, felt it maybe wasn't up to the standard of those other games that they had played in. But once you get back to Pinnacle Bank Arena, I mean, it was a great atmosphere in that for that game against Rutgers, 67-56 win. And really, I think one of the highlights of that was one last time K-State Tominaga putting on a show for the home fans.
Man, for a minute there, I was worried that it's senior night.
Yeah.
It's too emotional. He's not going to show out. You know, the worst game that he had in that February stretch last year was the first game that his parents were at. You wonder if it gets to be too much for him this time. Nope, just a little late. And man, he put on a thriller there at the end for Nebraska with one final three-pointer from the panhandle.
Yep. I think he's always been a little streaky, but his highlights, you know, when he's gone off those scoring games, I mean, you just watch him, you go, that's a special player, you know, the thrill that he'd bring to the crowd at times. So
he went into the crowd at one point. I thought he was going to get teed up, and I wasn't the only one. As I was walking out, I ran into Josiah Alec and I said the same thing. And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't even know where he went.
He disappeared
into the crowd, and I thought he was going to get teed up because he has been teed up for less this year. So
yeah,
but nope. They let him celebrate a little extra, which was appreciated because yep. I think the officials already had been booed quite a bit by the fans there, including one of them was like hyping up the crowd as he walked off the floor at halftime and they booed him even more. It was very bizarre.
Interesting.
It was very strange. I don't know if there was like a photo or a video of it, but it was very weird. But yeah, credit to K-State and Josiah Alec for balling out on senior night.
Yep, he had a double-double.
His first
as well.
Of the season, which is kind of unbelievable.
Must
to
have
me.
Had a lot of like eight rebounds.
Something
games.
Like that. But yeah, no, or like 8 points or something like that. I'm just, how has he not had one yet this season?
Absolutely. Felt like it would have happened by now, but.
But hey, he deserved it, and he walked into the post-game press conference with a fake fur coat on.
Yep, that was a. Loved all the photos of that, people going crazy online, going, man, that is so just high.
It is.
Right
he's had that coat for a while. And I found the Amazon listing. He was correct. It's about $70.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If they keep winning, he might have to get one for the whole team or something like that. I could see a little something like that catching on a little bit.
The team is notably a big fan of the coat. Yep. Because he brought it to the day where they did promo videos or like promo mm-hmm. photos, and they've used a photo of CJ in the coat on the big screen at PBA. So like they like the coat.
Okay. This is good. This is good news.
It's inside info that you will only get here because I pay attention to the dumbest things, but it's fine.
Yes, but I mean, cool for both those players kind of, you know, showing off their own personality, their own strengths, you know, what they've brought to this Husker men's program. So right now the record is 21-9, 11-8 in the conference. And that last game left at Michigan, that is 11 a.m. on Sunday. And in terms of their seeding for the Big Ten tournament, I think the scenario is they could be between third and sixth yep. are tend to be where they would land, and win in the double bye is guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what has.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, the fact that they could be the third seed too is even more
wild.
Impressive. Yeah.
It's wild. But they won some games that really matter for tiebreakers. You know, you never know it at the time, right? But
yeah,
they have, for all of the losses that they've had this season, the ones that they've won will help them with the ties.
Yeah, and those big upset wins, too, mm-hmm. How crucial those were. And kind of the interesting thing here, too, though, is just got to take care of business because you lose and anything could happen. I mean, who knows how far they could fall. So
it sounds like, and I was, you know, playing around with a bunch of the math, sounds like they could fall as far as to six. Is what that would look like if they lose and then a couple other things happen. But if they win, they take care of business, they get the double bye.
Yeah, it's still a little hairy because there's a couple teams mm-hmm. that have two games left.
Yep.
Nebraska's only got the one. So it's easy for them. Just say, get the win, get the double bye, and set themselves up for a big Big Ten tournament. So that's how the Husker men are standing right now. Again, all that tournament action here coming up in the next couple weeks. And moving on to some of our other Husker sports we want to update you on. The baseball team had a really, really great first month of their season and added to it, of course, this last weekend. Swept all three games that they played against College of Charleston down in South Carolina. And it was a stressful
The cardiac weekend. Kids. Yeah. I could not imagine what Will Bolt's heart rate was in the final innings of all of those games.
Absolutely. Well, I was over at the softball stadium and, you know, we were, you know, getting some of the updates in, and it's like every game, you know, they're trailing in the eighth and they're like, you know, it's probably done, right? And then every time they're coming back in the ninth inning, that is literally what happened all three times. Ninth inning surges from Nebraska, and the way that it happened starting off in the series opener was one of the most dramatic. They were down 5-1 going into the eighth inning, really hadn't had much offense all time, but a lot of walks, couple timely hits, some errors. It was a 6-5 comeback win, and really good. Another start from Drew Christo and some clutch innings from the bullpen. They've really been, I think, experimenting with this bullpen mm-hmm. a lot. I think there's like 15, 16 guys have thrown innings so far this year. They're still trying to figure out their right combo, but they got it in that one to hold on to that win there at the end. That was big.
Yeah, I was at state basketball and I looked, you know, down at my phone, saw what the score was. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. And then the next time I look at my phone after a break in action, I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all came about very quickly there. And I mean, credit to Nebraska for coming back and doing it again, because game two, they were down 4-1 going into the eighth inning, won it in the top of the ninth. And then game three, it was a 3-3 tied game in the ninth inning, Nebraska scoring two runs on errors to win it 5-3. And it was kind of that weekend for College of Charleston. They committed quite a few errors in those big moments, but Creighton, Nebraska got to put the ball in play to get there. They worked a lot of walks, their hitters coming up in those clutch moments. So they're now 7-3. How about this? Ranked third nationally in RPI. Not that that means a lot in early March.
But. No, no, but if they can do all that they can to keep it as high as they can in the non-con,
yeah,
that will help them because there's nothing you can do about it once, you know, conference play starts. It will inevitably slide.
Yep.
So
they could be number one and it would slide, obviously.
Yes.
Yep.
So you have to do what you can with that while you can and then just see how high you can keep it once conference play starts.
I mean, that's the path to an NCAA tournament at large bid. If you don't win the conference, schedule good, non-con teams, boost that RPI and, you know, potentially set yourself up for that second half of the year. So that's been big for Nebraska so far. And, hey, they're opening it up at Haymarket Park this weekend. 3-game series against South Alabama, who does have a 10-2 record, but not really played, I think, the caliber of opponent yet this season, certainly as compared to Nebraska. So Huskers potentially looking to keep this this strong start to the season going. And again, home opener. So we will see how they shake out against South Alabama this weekend.
But yeah, based off of current trends, if you're at that one, don't leave early.
Yeah, right. They could be down. They could be down 10. You better stay in those seats.
You better stay unless you have something that you have to go do.
Absolutely. So a really strong first month of the year for the Husker baseball team, but Husker softball team, really a tough weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always going to be a little bit of an up and down, I think, season after Jordy Ball's injury, but they really responded well those first couple weeks. But this home opening weekend really just didn't go their way. Some growing pains there in the circle. In particular, surrendered 7 in a row. They led 1-0 that Friday home opener mm-hmm. to Wichita State and then just kind of got away from them. Shocker scored a couple. And I think, you know, it's been tough because what really kept Nebraska in it those first 2 weeks was their bats. I mean, they were hitting really well, you know, able to compete. But when your pitching is not at the top and the bats aren't showing up either, you're not going to win many games. So.
No. And then when you add insult to injury, right, with, you know, some fielding issues too.
Yeah.
It's not great all around.
Yeah. But it was a good crowd there at Boland Stadium on Friday. The newly expanded, it was some of the most tickets they've ever sold, but still trying to get the people in the seats, get that attendance up. But unfortunately, it was kind of a similar story for the rest of the weekend. On Saturday, it was a pair of losses to Missouri and Wichita State. 27 runs allowed over those two games. And then finally on Sunday, Nebraska gets its best pitching against Missouri, but the bats were quiet. It was a 5-1 loss. And it's worth noting, I mean, Missouri's a top 15 team. Mm-hmm. Wichita State, these are both two very likely NCAA tournament teams, but Nebraska scheduled these games, you know, with that hope that you're going to compete, you're going to win a couple of those, help your own tournament resume, and certainly losing all four of those is a big, big blow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And for them to lose the way they did, too, is just a gut punch.
Yeah, so it's going to be really important for them to build some confidence again this weekend. They'll be down in Arkansas. Playing one game each against Arkansas, Northern Iowa, and South Alabama, and then two games against St. Francis. And really what I'll be looking to see is the freshman pitchers, Caitlin Olensky and Emerson Cope. They combined for that in that 5-1 loss to Missouri, had a really good outing. They're trying to get them more innings as, again, they grow in the circle. So be interested to see, though, both of them, again, being really big roles for the softball team and as they try to get a little bit get that season record a little bit more in the winning side of things than the losing.
Yes, absolutely.
So softball team on the road this weekend. And then two other teams to talk about, some major national and conference competitions. First, the Husker track and field team. There'll be 11 different Huskers competing at the NCAA Indoor Championships this weekend. Lots of different events and a couple worth noting, some of the national competitors that can maybe compete for a national title here. Till Steinfurth, he's ranked third nationally in heptathlon. Tyus Wilson, he's competing in high jump after placing fourth at last year's NCAA Outdoors. And Jenna Rogers, also fourth place finisher high jump at last year's Indoors. She's fifth nationally so far this season. And of course, many, many other Huskers in several other events competing in that.
Yeah, Nebraska has done great all indoor season. You've seen some really high marks from them that are placed, you know, in All-American status, right? So I'm really interested to see what happens there this weekend, Steinforth especially. think he's taken a big jump this year, and I'm interested to see how well he does.
Yeah, again, national title, perhaps. It'll be, you know, when you're up there in the top five, you get there through the whole season, you know, you always have that potential there.
And in an event like that, yeah. Right? Where, you know, if you have a really great day, mm-hmm. you know, anything is possible.
Yeah. So that will be a couple of those events to watch for a track and field team at the NCAA indoors. And you talked about the All-American status, a couple of those players or athletes have achieved. Well, the wrestling team, they'll be going mm-hmm. for that All-American status. They have the Big Ten tournament coming up this weekend, and the majority of the team seated on the top five in their weight class. Ridge Lovett, he is the top seated wrestler at 149 pounds. Lenny Pinto, second seated at 184. Jacob Van Dee and Brock Hardy, as well as Silas Allred in fourth, and then several others there in fifth, and a couple others rounding it out. And what I'll be interested too is Nebraska, you know, they finished third in this tournament last year. That seems to be kind of the spot that they've landed in a lot. You know, you got Penn State, you got Iowa, you got these top Big Ten teams, you know. Be interested to see this team performance, because they really do well to finish third and potentially push on a little bit there.
Yeah, I think that for the guys who aren't seated, you know, in the top yeah. two, I'm really interested to see how Brock Hardy does. I think he, you know, tends to perform really well in late season competition. Then Peyton Robb, obviously, just with the story that he's had and the columns that I've written with him, I think that, you know, he is hungry to go out on top after losing in such a heartbreaker at Big Tens last year, and then everything that happened at and after the NCAA tournament. And then Antrell Taylor, I think he's a dark horse to do some special things this postseason.
Nash Hotmaker, wrestling at heavyweight division two.
He's yeah. Ranked, it goes in at the number 10 seed, yep. I believe is what I read. So let's see if he can make some waves yeah. as well.
Good for him for being out there and competing and going through this season journey as well. I think it's going to be a really fun weekend to follow all these wrestlers, because they're well positioned to make some noise, several of them. Going after that All-American status. So.
Yeah, it should be interesting. And then just to get them to, you know, be qualified for NCAAs, those are in Kansas City this year, the same weekend as the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament for basketball.
Quite the weekend there, potentially.
very, very busy. But yeah, no. So for Nebraska fans who aren't going to be following the basketball squad, pretty close, only a couple hours.
Yeah, circle your calendars now.
I mean, I'm not joking. Like, if Nebraska yeah. men's basketball hadn't had a surge this season, I would be at
be
at the T-Mobile Center. It's so weird to call it the T-Mobile Center. It was the Sprint Center when I was in college.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the mainstays there in downtown Kansas City. But certainly that's the wrestling team update. Yeah, so as I said, you know, make sure to stay tuned, because so much exciting action, basketball, track, wrestling, baseball, softball. There's a lot going on this weekend. So we'll have all the updates, as always, for you at journalstar.com. And that'll do it for this week's weekly update in the Life of the Red podcast. Appreciate all of you listeners and viewers. As always, we'll see you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.